Welcome to the CRA Resource Show. CRA Resources is a unique recruitment agency with a single focus of providing CRA staffing for clinical studies across North America. My name is Becky Clark, and I'm Operations Manager at CRA Resources. Today, we're sitting down with Angela Roberts, Head of Recruiting, and special guest Dee Dee Cornelius. Dee Dee is a longtime client of ours and is the Senior Director of Clinical Operations for one of our favorite sponsors. So make sure to visit craresources.com/blog to catch up on our latest blog posts. You can also sign up there to get this content delivered to your inbox. So now I'll turn it over to Angela, and she can give us more details for our topic today.
Thank you, Miss Becky. And Dee Dee and I, and actually Becky, you as well, we were talking, it's not been too long ago, and it was about a different topic, but this topic came up and we thought it would be a really good one to address. And it's the topic of taking extended time off from a position. And we're gonna tackle it in two different ways today. For perms, because there's some legal reinforcement that perms can lean against whenever they need to take extended time, depending on the type of extended time that they need or what the purpose for the extended time off. But then also contractors, because sometimes I think contractors feel a little more helpless whenever they have situations that might require them to take some extended time off from either an assignment or their career or, you know, all of that type of thing. So that's going to be kind of the topic. And what I wanted to address first of all, Miss Dee Dee, I know that you've been in this industry for a really long period of time, but there's a lot of different reasons why people might want to take the time, like extended time, aren't there?
Yes, absolutely. We've had all kinds of different scenarios, and they're unexpected sometimes.
Mm-hmm. A lot of times they are. And it can be bereavement. It could be personal medical. It could be, like, for example, whenever my mom had her cancer situation, I had to like stop what I was doing and go there to take care of her. I mean, you know, taking care of aged parents, taking care of kiddos that end up ill. I mean, it could be a whole host of things that can kind of cause your need to take the time off. So let's address the topic of perms to begin with. As a hiring manager, Dee Dee, if one of your team members needs to take time off, what do you hope they do with you first and foremost?
So, and we have a really great team here, and they are really great at, they'll text me, call me, just let me know what's going on. And I mean, I don't have to have details. You can just call me and say, you know, I've got an emergency. I'm going to need to cancel this visit or this trip or, but our team has always been close enough that most of them are open to sharing whatever that situation is.
The biggest key is the communications though, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. We've had individuals even at this firm that from a candidate perspective that have, you know, all of a sudden they'll miss like a call or miss something, or we have them placed somewhere and they just kind of go missing or, you know, that type of thing. And that's really a shame, isn't it? Because it's a way to really ruin your brand whenever you're just not upfront and communicating. Now, with that being said, you're a pretty awesome manager. And so communications with you are probably pretty easy. What would you advise someone to do if they don't have a really close relationship with their operations manager?
I mean, my advice is you still have to be open and honest. Mm-hmm. You don't have to give those details. Just a simple message, email, text that says, I have a family emergency. Whatever the plan is, you know, if they're going on a visit, then they may not have the time to reach out to that site and say, you know, I need to cancel. So that's where the manager steps in and kind of covers, you know, you can either get someone else to go for them or just reach out to the site and apologize. And that's why I like people to be cross-trained. You know, that way, you know what you're doing. And, you know, we have situations where very often there needs to be a co-monitor.
Mm-hmm.
So what I like to do is pair those people up and they go to the sites with each other. They know the sites they're familiar with. Mm-hmm. You know, what airport do I fly into?
Yeah.
What hotel is best? You know, and back in the old days, there used to be a paper, legit paper, manila folder. And, you know, you could hand it off to someone else, and it had the MapQuest in there.
I remember those.
Yeah. So now it's just a simple email. You know, this hotel's really close to the site, or that way they're familiar with each other's sites and they can step right in and cover without, you know, it's just a seamless transition. That's not always the case, but that's ideal situation.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's a really good point that you raise. And I know that this topic is very much targeted towards job, you know, the work performers. But for the operations managers, kind of a case in point, when you've got a real itty bitty study and you only need one CRA, sometimes that can be problematic. If something does happen, that CRA falls and breaks a hip, or they can't travel because of some type of a situation, having someone else that is intimately familiar with the protocol and the trends that they're seeing and the data that they're monitoring, and, you know, all of that, just the knowledge with the site, you know, the investigator's routine or the coordinator's flaws or the, you know, whatever, makes a huge difference, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's one thing to note, too, for PERMs that, you know, there are some legitimate legal protections that are in place for certain types of leaves. You know, the Family Medical Leave Act is a prime example. And I think understanding, you know, if obviously you don't want to wait until you have a bereavement leave or some type of a medical emergency or, you know, something like that. So make sure that you know what the company's policies are when you're hired into the company, because the company's policies might actually be more generous and flexible than what the government requires. I know when I was with IBM, you know, maternity leave, they would like women take an entire year off paid for maternity leave. An entire year. 52 weeks was the way it was stated in the handbook. And so, you know, some companies will actually, you know, give you that extra time to be able to take off or to flex holiday or vacation time if you need it beyond the required however many weeks the government requires, or, you know, that type of thing. So being able to know that too. The other thing that I think that PERMs need to be thinking about is what is the company's policy for notification? Because, you know, you're very close with the folks that you manage. So, you know, you guys text and, you know, that type of thing. But some companies might actually require a written notification of, I have a medical emergency, I'm going to require surgery, my surgery date is this date, I'm going to request the complete time off, which means I have to return, you know, it's that type of thing as well. So it is very important to really know what the company policy is, match it to what the government policy is on the FMLA Act, you know, all of that, and then go put something in writing, especially if you don't have a DD, someone that you're that close to, so that you can make sure that you're covered, both from your team's perspective, as well as, you know, legally from a government's protection perspective as well.
I agree. And a lot of people don't do that, you know, especially the younger generations. They don't expect any kind of a medical emergency with a child or a parent or, you know, but that's very wise information to be prepared and read those policies. And what do I need to do in the event that this happens? Because they're certainly reading their vacation time and their what those policies are.
Yeah, sure. That's a really good point. I wonder if it should be, I mean, something that they ask, add to their checklist when they're comparing jobs for employment. You know, because you have, I mean, I know back in the day, I never cared about long-term disability, short-term disability. When I fell and broke both of my wrists, that mattered.
I agree.
Because there was nothing I was doing for like 12 weeks while I was waiting for those to heal. You know, so it has nothing to do with age, does it?
Oh, definitely. And, you know, even now these days across genders too, because, you know, a lot of women think about maternity leave if they're of that age or that stage of life or whatnot. But a lot of men, you know, these days can look at a lot of companies being very progressive, giving parental leave off for new dads too. And that's a perk that you can definitely take a look at and see if that's there. It's, you know, it's not necessarily, you know, mandatory, but that's something that is a perk a lot of times these days. So to be on the lookout for those things, if you're in that stage of life, that could be extra helpful to know in advance as well.
That's a good point. And I have seen jobs add paternity leave. Yeah. They advertise it nowadays. Yeah. I think that's kind of cool, actually, that they do that.
So
yeah, good. Absolutely.
So what about contractors? How does this change when it comes to contractors?
So, you know, contractors are quite different. But like, again, like our team is so close and they're going to text me and or call me or email me. But we have had the situation where they go missing and we don't know why. Mm-hmm. You know, as you know, we've had to investigate that and even call their emergency contacts because they're just totally missing, non-responsive. And but the same thing. I mean, we don't really treat contractors any differently from employees. And if they're cross-trained and they've co-monitored, and it kind of, you know, we apply the same rules.
Mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm. I think in some ways it can be even a little bit more flexible. But the point of response, let's talk about that one first. I've actually sent police to people's home before. And it's not because I wanted them to be arrested. It's because I was afraid they were dead inside their home because they were not responding. I had a gal and she was actually on your team way back in the day and she went missing. And we kept calling her and calling her and calling her and it wasn't, and her phone wasn't dead. I mean, so somebody was charging her cell phone. And then there was a couple of times when somebody answered and then hung up. And I'm like, okay, something is wrong. Is this gal being held hostage? I mean, you know, all this stuff starts going through your head. You know. So I called the police and had them do a drop by. And it was her son mucking around with her phone. And she was in the hospital. She had had some type of emergency. And she ended up having to have emergency surgery. And he was keeping her phone charged, but he was not answering it. And the issue with that, and I was furious with this kid. I'm like, dude, don't you know your mother has a job? Don't you think you need to be answering the phone? You know, but with that being said, isn't it kind of her responsibility? I mean, should you, all of you guys that are consultants out there, have a checklist. If you have an emergency, your husband, your wife, your best friend, your kid, your whatever needs to have this checklist that they go to call. You know, Dee Dee, she's got emergency surgery. I don't know when she's going to be available. Angela, she's da 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 da. I mean, you, just because contractors, your brand could get damaged so quickly and all of us care. So all you got to do is tell us what's going on. And if you're not able to do it, make sure someone's instructed to do that on your behalf.
Yes, that's a great plan to put in place. I agree.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we don't send the police to your door.
Oh, yeah. So I don't send the police to your door.
Yeah. I mean, that's why we ask. I mean, it's obviously optional, but we ask our new contractors, hey, do you have some emergency contact information to share? Because we want to be proactive in making sure that, you know, we can get a hold of you in case something happens to you. So if you don't have a plan on your end, we're trying to have a plan on our end and we're trying to prompt you to have a plan on your yeah. end so you can share it with us if you're comfortable doing so. Help us help you, you know, but help yourself too.
Yeah.
We have emergency contact lists for the employees and the contractors. I've never had anyone deny filling that out for us, thank goodness. But I was actually on a conference call. This has been maybe a year ago. And one of our employees was leading it. And she wasn't on my team. And we could hear her speech slurring. And I was like, are you okay? And she said, yes, yes. And I said, tell me something, you know, just make a full sentence for me. And she couldn't form a sentence.
She was having a
stroke. And of course, she's not on my team. I'm calling my boss and he's in a meeting. I'm just blowing up his phone. And he finally answered and said, what? And I said, something is going on. She lived alone. She had a little dog. That was it. And I said, I need HR now. I need her emergency contacts. We're all on this call trying to get her to respond to us and nothing.
Oh,
and
gosh.
Yeah, so they asked, we stayed on the phone until the first responders got there because thank goodness HR had her emergency contact and she had had a stroke. But it was like, you know, we're all on the phone going, we can't do anything. She's thousands of miles away. So that is where that really, that emergency contact list, I think you have to have that regardless.
You know, wow. You know, that's scary. Well, thank God you guys were all on the phone at the same time when it happened, right? Mm-hmm. You know, especially a stroke, because if you catch it early, it's just such a different, you know, potential, you know, the outcome potential is just so much better. But, you know, I mean, that kind of that adjusts the topic a little bit in a way, doesn't it? We are so remote now. And I know that, you know, our industry is, especially the CRA role, has been remote anyway, but we're even so much more remote now. And just making sure you got a plan no matter what. I remember having these conversations with my mother years before she ever got sick of a life alert. And this was before I had gotten married. And so I lived on my own as well. And she thought I was trying to coerce her into getting some type of a life alert because of her age. And I was like, no, Mom, I'm actually thinking of getting one too, because I mean, I live on my own. If I fall down the stairs or trip over one of my dogs and then, you know, bust my head open or, you know, whatever, being able to have some type of an emergency plan is critically important, you know, whether that plan is that you have a panic button on your phone or your house alarm or, you know, something like that. And, you know, a check-in type of a situation to where if you are on your own, someone knows to check on you if you don't show up to work or, you know, that type of thing as well. So,
yeah, absolutely. It was very scary. And, you know, I think we all have to be prepared, even though, you know, it like you said, it doesn't matter what age you are,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Particularly if you're alone, there has to be a plan in place for some, it's going to happen, right? It's either already happened or you're about to happen or you know, it's coming.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, exactly. Yeah. And it's less to do to, in my book anyway, about having the expiration tag come due and more to do with laying there on the floor, not being able to get to a phone or call somebody or, you know, something like that too. So
absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a really good point. So for contractors in general, you know, I think the biggest difference in my book between a perm and a contractor, whenever it comes to something like having to take time off for a funeral or having to take off to take care of your kiddos or, you know, that type of thing, to your point in both instances, having the very transparent discussion is helpful. And I think contractors need to know that we are going to work with you when we know what's going on. I mean, and, you know, case in point, again, with you, we've had CRAs that have had to take 3-6 months off, and we held their contract for them so that they could come back whenever they were finished with whatever they were having to do to remedy their situation. You know, people who've had, you know, we've had people with our firm that have had to have back surgery, that have had strokes. We had one gentleman who we adored that had colon cancer and had to go through treatments. We've had, you know, all of these types of things in their contractors. It stinks in a lot of ways, because if you're not working, you're not earning money, but you need your time off. You need your time off. And so just communicating that, I think, is really, really important. But as contractors, you have to plan for it. You got to make sure you got that buffer in your checking account, don't you?
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And doing what you can on your end to, I mean, if at all possible, obviously we've been talking about both situations, emergency situations or pre-planned, you know, situations. If it is pre-planned and you are able to do as much for your hiring manager, your company or your peers, your colleagues as possible in advance to help set them up for success in your absence, I think goes a long way. Wanted mm-hmm. to mention that, because if there is anything you can do, if you can, you know, do some extra, you know, evenings or weekends or do things to help in advance, at least of, like Dee Dee said earlier, communicating, you know, the site information, or, you know, if you haven't co-monitored with somebody, you know, making sure everybody's prepared and, you know, kind of doing that handoff, that transition mm-hmm. as well as possible in the beginning and planning for that instead of just kind of dropping the microphone and peacing out, you know, that would help a lot and probably go a long way for, you know, your brand as well in the eyes of your team.
Yeah. It's that upfront work, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It's about being organized, and I'm I'm bad at this too. I'm a just-in-time gal. I tell Becky all the time, give me a deadline, I'll meet the deadline. And then I'm like scrambling at the last minute to meet the deadline. But with that being said, you know, if I, and I, again, I'll refer to myself here to not insult anybody who might be listening, but if I were more proactive in the way that I planned things out, let's say, for example, I am pushing a deadline because I was pushing one today. Becky had to review an article that's supposed to be published today. So she got it to her late last night so she could review it so it could be published today. But what happened if she was sick today? Or what happened if I got sick yesterday? And then that means we miss our deadline, you know?
Yeah.
So being able to be as more upfront about organization, does everyone have your contact information? Do your kiddos know who to call if you get sick? Does your, are your, is your email, do you have folders and can someone get into your email and easily tell what's going on? Is your calendar up to date so we know where you were supposed to be? Is there, you know, all of those things. And this is across the board, anybody that's part of a team, that's very helpful to do.
Yes, I agree.
Well, ladies, this has been so great. I think we are out of time here. But thank you, Dee Dee, for joining us again. This was a really great topic. So good for people to think about. There's so much you don't think about, you know, mm-hmm. with this topic, a lot of nuance around it. And thank you for sharing your expertise and all your experience with this. It's been a pleasure, Dee Dee. Thank you. Please join us again. Thanks, Dee Dee. Thanks, Angela, for joining us today. Thanks, everybody out there listening. At CRA Resources, we understand you have so many options when it comes to selecting which clinical recruiting company to partner with. Not only do we take pride in working with the highest quality CRAs and site managers, we also only work with quality pharmas, biotechs, medical device companies, and CROs who recognize the importance and value of a CRA's role. So feel free to reach out at CRAresources.com for more information about our firm, and we cannot wait to work with you.